a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I made a purchase yesterday.
Well done.
Pretty pleased with it. Leaning into my, I guess, tradie era.
Tool belt?
No, oh. I don't have it. I don't have the tools. I'll have to get them.
You've got to get the belt first, mate. That's how it happens. It's my understanding.
If you belt it, they will come.
Yes. Yes.
It's like a Disney princess when you're sort of walking through the forest and you're just singing and the birds come and said like...
That's my ultimate.
Nails and sort of hammers and stuff. They just
they fly
straight
at you.
Into your, yeah. Your tool belt.
Yeah.
Should have known. I bought some wood.
Right.
More precisely, I bought $300 worth of wood yesterday.
Whoa.
I'm building a fence.
Did you measure it yourself?
Yep.
And you asked them to cut wood and
no,
give you that wood?
No, they don't
wood.
Cut it. No, you got to buy the bits. And so I've got probably more wood than I need, and I will need to cut it down to size.
Okay. Look, I don't mean to – I want to be that person that has your back, but I'm worried. You've never built a fence in your life.
Never.
You've never touched wood, basically.
I have.
Basically.
Lots.
When have you ever cut wood and pieced it together and put concrete in floor, put and leveled off? This seems very difficult, mate.
No one said anything about concrete, mate.
You got to level off stuff. You can't just...
I will level off what I want to level off.
You're going to use concrete for your fence.
I'm not going to use concrete for my
fence. Where are you going to put the wood? Just in the dirt?
Ground.
In the ground.
Yeah. It's where it belongs. It's where it came
from. Pretty sure you need something down there.
I'm going to dig a hole. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you need...
a hole in there.
Yeah, okay.
Close that hole back over.
Have you done deal...
Do it again.
Have you been watching YouTube or something? Like,
no.
Where has this come from?
No, we've
that
just
you
got
think
chickens
you can do
that
it?
Absolutely crap all over the yard,
yeah.
And I need to fence them off. So I'm building a fence. I'm going for a box wire arrangement. So all the fence aficionados out there will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, you've been watching Gardening Australia, haven't you?
No. I don't have the wire yet. And also I did the measurements and was like, yep, on my way home. I was like, oh, hang on. Going to need a gate. Otherwise I've just fenced them in and they'll never get out and we'll never get to our eggs. So now I have to work out how to get a gate into
mate,
my fence.
This is too much.
No.
It's too much.
No.
I believe in you, but you're not going to be able to make a swinging gate.
I won't make. I might make one because what do I need? Some hinges and some bits of wood. I'm going to have leftover wood.
Do you even know what hinges are?
Yes, I do.
How many would you need?
It's a dating website, and also it's a really weird type of relationship.
Yeah.
And also, it's got something to do with gates.
Yeah, so exactly. I'm like, is the gate going to open in or out?
I'm going to go in.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens have you got the turning circle there?
None of your business.
Have you thought about it?
None of this is any of your business, mate.
It is my business because I'm concerned. And then you're going to start crying to us and then Lee and I are going to have to be there dismantling this fence. And you know what? The next time some type of big weather event comes through Geelong, people are going to find palings in Lara in their heads and their houses.
There'll be no palings. Just solid cypress. See, I know, cypress hardwood or whatever, and
are
then
you,
bang in the ground.
Okay,
boom.
Are you putting something over the top of it? Are you sealing the wood, or is it just going to be exposed
wood? Yeah, no, because the ones that go like along the top and the bottom, slightly lighter wood than the posts, so I want to give it a little lacquer, so all over, so a bit of a varnish, so it all like ties in similar colour.
I do believe in you, but I don't believe in you.
I didn't think you would. It's fine.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I love when an article says, according to scientists, and there's no other information.
So
we're taking this with a grain of salt, but worth talking about, I say, because according to scientists, there's an article out today that says all men fit into 6 categories.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I was thinking, okay, you know, a-hole, nice guy, whatever. No. It's alpha, bravos, delta, gammas, omegas, and sigmas.
Yeah, they're all college frat houses.
Yeah, exactly. And there is this quick male hierarchy test that reveals what category you fit into.
Yeah, right.
So Look, the six categories of men, I mean, your alphas are your leaders. Do you know what I mean? And we're thinking Captain America. Like, they've given us some little examples here. Your bravos are like the lieutenants of the masculine one. And they're liked by women. They're quite loyal. Think of your Ron Weasleys.
Okay.
Okay. Your deltas are normal guys who get the job done. Like Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Your gammas are book smart, but they do lack social skills and money. And they're dismissed by women. Think of your Jack Sparrow and your Tony Stark.
AJ in the newsroom, you heard that one.
Nodding along there. Your omegas are—they're the bottom of the masculine social hierarchy. They tend to be introverts. They're unpopular with women. Like here, it says Spider-Man, which I feel like. Okay, Peter Parker, you know.
He does battle.
Okay, and your Sigmas are your lone wolves, you know. They're successful with women, but they've got no interest in being a leader. Think of your James Bond.
Yeah,
and your Bruce Waynes, okay? Now, I asked you to do this test.
Yes,
and there were like 35 questions or something like that that then put you in the category, and I wanted to see, does this reign true, or is it just the scientists might be wrong in this case? What did you get?
So what do you think I am?
I think...
And you don't have to say anything based on my role here at work because I am your boss.
I think you're kind of... you're not an alpha, but in the best way possible. Do you know what I mean? That's actually... that's a good statement for you. I think you're kind of a delta. You're like a normal guy who gets the job done. You're the workers of the social hierarchy and you're just kind of doing your thing. You're Marty McFly, you're a Frodo Baggins. You just... You're getting it done.
Well, let me tell you, the results are in, and with a alignment of 83.76%,
okay,
I am indeed a Delta.
Are you really?
Yeah, you called
it. Yes, called it.
Delta males, workers and doers of the masculine social hierarchy, Deltas form the backbone of the male part of society and consist of normal guys who show up for work and their lives, contribute to society and take pride in those contributions.
Yes, good on you.
Also the type that's most likely to move up or down the hierarchy as they develop their skills and their industriousness.
Yeah.
Their industriousness makes them indispensable. Deltas are the guys who get the job done.
Okay.
Not necessarily interested in fighting for dominance with alphas and bravos. Instead, they tend to pride themselves on their competence and skill at work and their ability to get things done.
Oh, my God. Spot on. How do you feel about that assessment?
Yeah, it is about right. So we go on, though. They tend to be frank and straightforward, expecting sincerity and decency in others.
Yeah.
Deltas may sometimes be exploited by friends, family, or romantic partners who are associating with the Delta to milk them for favours and resources rather than because they like them. Deltas would do well to remember that their earnestness and resources are likely to attract freeloaders. Ain't that you guys?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, there you go. Well, you know, I decided, you know, I'd set this task for you, but then I thought... What kind of bloke are you? Would you like to hazard a guess at where I would fit?
What's Gamma again? Can you tell me?
Gamma is the intellectuals. They're book smart and they lack social skills. They're dismissed by women, so it's kind of your Tony Starks and your Jack Sparrows.
You're either Gamma or Omega.
Okay. Well, you'd be correct with the Omega because that's what I've come in at as 77.5%. Bottom of the masculine social hierarchy here. Tend to be introverts who lack social skills. Well, that's not quite right. No. Unpopular with women, definitely not correct. I am your Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Okay.
And well I will done. Shoot my web. Shall you get in my way?
Okay. I think all of that is very accurate. So scientists are right.
Yes.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I did it during the news.
Yeah, shut up for a sec. So, Tom, what do you think he would be?
I think, I know I said it before. I wouldn't be surprised if he is a bit of a Delta or an Alpha.
I think you're a Bravo.
The offsider?
I think you're the offsider, but you're still a good leader, but people like you.
But doesn't quite get that you don't drink coffee into a microphone on the radio?
Did I just do that? Sorry about that.
I didn't even notice that. Okay. So, all right. So I'm guessing Bravo. You're guessing Alpha. Is that what you just said?
You're awake. Yeah. I'm guessing Delta.
Okay. Delta for you. Bravo for me. Your results, Cameron
Lee. Hang
on. Okay. You are most like an Alpha.
My second choice.
85.83%. Yes. My colour little wheel here, the pie chart or whatever you call it, is mainly Alpha with a chunk of Bravo.
Mm.
Bit of Sigma about it. What was Sigma?
So Sigma are your lone wolves, but they're competent with no interest in leading.
Yeah, you don't.
Successful with women. Well,
yeah, well
but you're an alpha mate, which means that you're the leader. You're charismatic, decisive, and willing to take risks. Successful with women, Captain America, or Tommy Shelby from Peaky Blinders.
Well, none of that is true.
No, that's great. I called it before.
We said that you are an alpha, but you don't act like a typical alpha. Because I love that you're very good at leading, and you know, but you're not an a-hole.
So we're all alphas a-holes.
Mm. Yeah, they can be. So somebody's got to be in charge, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like they will take charge no matter what.
Okay.
And they will get to the top no matter what.
What was Tommy?
I was Delta.
Tommy was a Delta, okay. So he is a normal guy who gets the job done, like your Marty McFly, your Frodo Baggins. And I'm an Omega. I'm the bottom of the masculine hierarchy, and I'm unpopular with women. I'm your Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Oh, but Peter Parker's sweet.
Oh, I'm not, though.
No, you're not sweet.
You are a bottom, though.
Thank you. The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. This may be a wrong way to be, a wrong way to think, and I'm not quite sure. But it's happened to me twice in 3 weeks, and I'm sort of thinking, this annoys me. Can we fix the problem? So as I drive home, I live on the Bellarine, beautiful Bellarine in Ocean Grove, and I normally go MacKillop Street, aka the Bellarine Highway, MacKillop Street, and then I'll go past the APCO in East Geelong and I'll continue down the Bellarine Highway there.
Cemetery, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all of that. Now, it's happened twice that as I've rocked up to that intersection, there is a massive, oversized piece of machinery or like some type of demountable on the back of a truck that is taking up two lanes.
Yeah.
And they've got the ute behind them saying oversized ahead, and they've got one in front, and then we slowly turn and we go APCO.
It's a pretty small turn too, isn't it? Like, it's a pretty small intersection.
We do that, and then it's like it's two lanes the whole way down, like you mentioned, past the Geelong Cemetery there, and then keep on going, and there's no way to get around it. There's no way to get around it because this oversized thing takes up two lanes, and there is only two lanes on the Bellarine Highway,
so
right?
Like
there's no way to overtake. And so if they're going towards the Bellarine, I mean...
Newcombe Central, like Millmarket.
How do you get past...
Press E. Jaco.
Exactly, the whole way. So I've cracked it a little bit, and I've gone up Port Arlington Highway because I'm just like, I'd rather just go around and just whatever. I might get there in the same amount of time, but at least I feel like I'm moving.
What's the bad?
Go around. There's no around. Anyway, sorry. So with the oversized things, should there be a rule that you can only move them like at midnight?
Overnight.
Or is that me being really pretentious and a real a-hole?
Yeah, no, it is.
Is it really?
So you're asking people to do their job that is usually, let's call it 7 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Yeah.
You're asking them to do it at midnight.
Yeah.
Just for your convenience.
Mine and others. Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of them.
I agree. I think if you make a window of like, even if it's 6 to 6, like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., where you can move heavy gear, because there's a lot of those. It's heading out the Bellarine. I don't know what that machinery is, but it's a lot of the bits of the big wind turbines that are being put together here at Ford or whatever, and then they're being shipped out to the Western Victorian sort of
some of
districts.
Those, some of the really massive, massive ones, have certain hours it has to be moved.
Yeah, right.
And you know when they're relocating entire houses, like half a house?
Well, that's what this... It kind of looked like a demountable, you could say. So it looks like half a house, one of them was, and the other one was machinery. And I'm like, I don't know. Is it wrong for me to be like...
Get out of my way.
Get out.
You a-holes. Yeah.
But then I understand, because I'm thinking of the driver... That, you know how much stress I would be in? Every time I stop at a traffic light and an amber, I feel like the person behind me is like, you idiot. Mm. Obviously, I'm following rules. I stop at a roundabout. I'm following rules. But I feel bad that I'm holding up traffic. Could you imagine me in the demountable with the oversizing?
We would not give you that job.
Stressed. So stressed. Yeah,
everybody's got strengths and that wouldn't be one of yours.
Thank you.
How early did you take the Port Arlington Highway?
Pretty early.
Yeah, good. Like, so that's the obvious one. Just adjust where you're driving.
Go around. But then I had to go to Cayman. Kmart, and then I had to go to Leopold, and so I couldn't make that decision on another time.
You couldn't come back from the Port of Arlington Highway back to the Ballarine after having gone around this.
No, it's
truck.
Annoying. But that's why it's just like, I don't know. So obviously.
So the world revolves around your annoyance.
Sometimes. No, so everybody's having, she's having to change her behaviours around this.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's having to tiptoe around this, the big.
The big,
you know,
oh, don't mention the oversized. tiptoe around it. Yeah, no. So, okay, all right. So Tom agrees and
I said, suck it up.
Okay.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
So we're headed to the dangerous streets of Newtown for this one. So just be careful. There's some disturbing content in this. In the fact that...
Hang on. Give me one second.
What have you got? You're going to get some music ready, are you?
All right, now we're in Newtown.
Mm. Yes, that's right. There's been hoodlum type behaviour witnessed on the streets, the dangerous streets of Newtown.
Okay.
So far, that some of the reports that are coming through is that there's one particular person who is doing all the things and has been, in fact, spotted hauling whatever like gear he can get a hold of down the streets of Newtown again.
Well, famously, a hat was stolen in Newtown.
Well,
that was
quite a serious problem.
Were they still talking about it, Tom?
Got it back, though, didn't you?
Got it back.
It's who you know.
Exactly. No. Weird how driven law enforcement was to get that hat back.
No, this was, and it's just great when a community comes together and like that, almost a neighbourhood watch type feel takes over.
Like a vigilante style.
The pitchforks out.
And they're able to capture the photographic evidence of the perpetrator behind this one, so that as a group we can come together and maybe we can hunt this perpetrator down and make sure they face the full might of the justice system. I'm going to send you both a photo. This is what was captured in the streets of Newtown of the said perpetrator. Hopefully this comes through reasonably quickly.
Okay, got it. Yep, here we go.
You've got it. This is what has been captured. This perpetrator has scored themselves clearly a TV.
A widescreen
TV. And is quickly making his getaway, hauling it down the street.
Yep. It looks familiar.
He does look a little familiar.
Now, look, I would describe this as a smallish type of person, but the hair gives it away,
familiar,
I'd say.
Yeah.
What colour hair would you describe it as?
It is strawberry blonde.
And at a guess, would you say around the 8 years old mark?
Yeah. Eight years old, 4 foot mark.
Yeah. It's like a young Cameron Lee.
And just hauling a TV that is probably as big as him down the street. Well, this photograph was taken by concerned community members of this area.
And popped up on the Newtown Facebook group.
And just popped it in there and said, anyone know this kid who's stealing TVs from houses?
No, they didn't.
He has had to stop 5 or 6 times on his way home to get this TV because it's so big and heavy. Mm-hmm. He's made his way into his residence where he lives.
Yeah.
And his explanation for the people who cohabitate with him was, I got myself a TV for my bedroom.
Yeah, amazing.
It was from the free stuff sale on the front nature strip of the house.
Yeah.
Free stuff sale.
Yeah.
The adults in this house had to explain to him that, mate, that's not how things work. Have you actually stolen this TV?
No, that's how it does work.
And he's like, no, it was sitting out the front. It's free stuff.
Yeah. It was sitting in someone's house and their door was open. So I just assumed.
That's right. So I just tied up their ankles and...
So am I raising a kid who is a little hoodlum, or am I raising a kid who's very thrifty and is finding ways to recycle and reuse?
Mate, he's seen an opportunity to upgrade his pad. Impressive if he goes back and asks for the remote. That's what I...
He said, no remote, Dad. Maybe we could get a gaming console for it.
Right. Maybe we could.
Does the TV work?
We've plugged it in.
And
he's turned it on. Works. He has had a great time, like, adjusting the brightness of the screen.
Oh, my God.
Wants to know how he connects to Netflix on a...
Well, what you do is that you steal someone's account. Yeah. And then
why stop at taking the TV?
Yeah.
I love the fact that we were even worried whether it would work or not, because that TV on the footpath in Newtown guaranteed is heaps better than either your TV or my
TV. It's bigger, that's for sure.
I love the fact that in my suburb on the nature strip we have burning cars.
Oh, no.
In Newtown, it's high-end electronic equipment.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on K-Rock 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom, Lingy and Loggy Gold.
Ma, what's your name? Ma, I'll guess. Ma, what's Dad's name? Trevor or Jeff? It's my guess. It's my guess. Have fun
miming
mouthing.
But do you have fun listening to it, Nicole from Chalamont?
Hello!
Hello.
Hey, Nicole, how torturous is that little opening that we play there? How bad?
It is non-stop chat on Facebook, let me tell you.
Amazing. Made it to the Chalamont Facebook group. How odd that you are getting a brand new Woolworths and you've called up to play as well. Very exciting. We're going to get you to give us either mum or dad's name, not now, when we guess it.
Are we guessing mum or dad's, Nicole?
Thank you.
Look. Either are just as hard, so I'm
going to
go mum.
Okay.
Mum. Okay. Oh, okay. Hard. Okay.
All right. Who's gone
first? Just for those who have never heard this before, we each get to ask one question to try and narrow it down to us guessing Nicole's mum's name. Tommy, would you like to start?
Okay. Are we going with
mums?
Mums. Nicole, does mum spend much time out in the garden?
No.
Okay, no garden.
Not a garden, not log.
Nicole, mum's dessert of choice to make is... dot, dot, dot. What is it?
Apple strudel.
Ooh,
apple strudel.
Okay. Apple strudel, no garden. Okay.
I'm going to go buy one after the show.
All right, Nicole. Did mum, was there like one movie that mum clearly loved as a child, teenager, whatever it might be, that she just had to show you at some point in your life? This is my must-watch movie.
She took us to Footscray Theatre and it was Bambi.
Oh, so you've still got trauma about that.
The saddest movie of all time.
All right, so we've got no gardening.
No gardening.
Apple strudel maker.
Yeah.
And Bambi is the must-watch movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Yeah,
Tom. Nicole. Is the mum Helga's?
Yeah.
I'll take that as a no.
Is that a no? Your mum's name's not Helga?
That's a hilarious no.
Okay, hilarious no is a bit of a win.
Rating.
Yeah. Okay, Nicole, is your mum's name Whitney?
Definitely not.
No. Why was that such a blind?
This was a reach. It seemed like.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought strudel and Bambi.
See, I think there might be a little funny bit of synergy here going on, and I think we might have a Lauren on the cards.
Oh.
Nicole, is mum's name Lauren?
Couldn't be further from.
Oh. So it's
a really hard one.
What is it?
Yeah, it's not a very common name.
Well, that's why I went with
Paulette.
Helga. Paulette.
Oh, Paulette.
Oh, should have known.
Oh.
Should have bloody known.
What
how?
A darling.
How should we have known?
I don't know. It's how the game works, Lindsay.
Yeah, true.
Well, we all had fun, didn't we Nicole?
Did.
Absolutely.
And to reward you, mate, and Paulette, if you want, $100 to spend at the all-new Woolies in Chalamont, which will open on Friday.
Excellent. Can't wait.
No worries. Should we outro?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to play again. That's three times. It's too much. No, you can't. It's all over.
It's on the Facebook.
Facebook.
People will get really upset, so just don't. Ma, what's your
weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Now, John Edward is, he's been a mainstay, really, of this part of life and coming to Australia for many, many years now to get in touch with some people that we may have lost.
Exactly. American psychic medium. He is basically the go-to in psychic mediumship, and we are lucky enough that he's coming to Geelong, and we've got him on the phone right now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. It's so good. You are headed to Geelong at Costa Hall, November 29, which is great. Any connection thoughts on Geelong initially? I know that's a big, wide-ranging subject, but what, any particular connections you feel towards this part of the world?
I mean, I feel a connection to Australia in general. And I think over the years of coming there, like the game is, if I was to move there, which city would I move to?
Yeah.
It's like constantly a moving target for me, because every time I'm there, I'm like, well, I could live here now. Well, I think I can live here now.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could ask people on the other side, your loved ones and your guides, about where the best place would be for you to move to. Can you just connect with your own loved ones as well, John? Or are you just kind of a conduit, I guess, for connecting with other people who have passed on, other loved ones?
Well, no, I could do it for myself as well, and I feel the connections, but it's a little bit more like a doctor can't operate on themselves. So I feel like I lose my objectivity sometimes.
Yeah.
So for me, it's more of a lifestyle of how do I communicate directly with them. So for me, it's like sending energetic mental texts to them, and then waiting to get back that feeling of like, okay, they read it, they know it.
That's incredible. Can you take requests like a DJ? If I was to say to you, like, XYZ person who's passed, can you like dial them up?
I wish I could. You know, many years ago, I was doing a radio station in New York, and the DJ, had heritage in the marketplace. And I saw that he had his producer put up on the screen in front of them. Actually, it was a glass that they had, like, he put paper up that said, like, you know, line one, Susan wants to talk to mom. Line two, Mary wants to talk to dad. And I, like, looked at that, and I looked at him, and I put my hands up, and I started, like, waving, like, no. Yeah. Like, I don't want to know anything. Yeah. And he said to me, he goes, when you get your own show, he goes, you could do it the way you want to do it.
I would have been like, well, I can't connect to anyone. Goodbye.
Yeah. No, he actually said to me, he goes, but here's what you need to know. He goes, in my business, I can't have dead air. Pardon the pun. He goes, and these people are going to call up wanting to hear from specific people. He goes, and then you're not going to get those people. You may get other people. Mm. He says, and then you're going to hear a whole bunch of no's. And he was really, really accurate.
Yeah.
And I actually adopted that when I started doing live call-ins or live television. I would say to the client, who do you want to hear from? And they'd go, my dad. And I'd be like, great. I don't have your dad, but I have this.
Yeah.
And what it did was it gave more of a control over the experience, so that people weren't disappointed if I didn't connect with that one person, because I can't always dial direct.
Yeah, that is amazing. And John, it follows on to the question I've been wanting to ask, because I'm fascinated. The book that's come out, Chasing Evil, with Robert Hillen, the FBI agent, and the relationship you've had with him.
Yes.
You're working on specific cases and often cold cases for the FBI and giving your assistance to that. So you are looking for specific connections to them. How does all that work? How can you give that assistance?
So he came to me because he was trying to have me arrested for fraud. So that was a unique way for a relationship. So he used the guise of one of the cases that he was working on as cover to come in. But his ulterior motive was to kind of reveal that this wasn't legit. As a result of helping him with that case and then reading for him, I then developed a working relationship with him. So I jokingly say that I don't work for the FBI. I work for another three-letter, and that was the B.O.B., because his name's Bob.
Oh, yeah.
I help Bob, and then I, you know, worked with him on his cases. And it was, it's basically, I didn't solve anything. What I tell people is, like, the same way that a client comes to me and I can't fix their grief and I can't fix their problems, I can give them insights, and what they do with those insights can help them on their journey. And that's what I did with him. I gave him insights, and then he used those insights, and we've had some great success. And this book, Chasing Evil, kind of will talk about that, you know, three-decade relationship.
Yeah. So if you... Obviously, it must take so much of your energy to connect to the other side, and dealing with people with their grief and everything like that must be so intense for you. Do you turn it on and off? Like, for example, you knew you had it on the sheet in front of you that you were going to be chatting to Tom, Lee and myself. Once you connected the call with us, do you start getting messages from other people? Like, is anyone trying to come through now for any of us at the moment? Or is it just sort of like you can turn it off and focus on what's happening just chat-wise?
Yeah, I need to turn it on and do it. I was a little bit open before we started this call, which is why before the call there was some stuff that I kind of dropped into the conversation with you guys.
Yeah.
But I try not to read for hosts of shows, because sometimes private and personal information comes out about, like, your family. Yeah. And they don't have a public persona. So their life and their business isn't for the fodder of the audience that's listening.
Yeah.
So I've kind of made it a personal mantra not to try to reach a host of shows for that reason.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, just back to quickly the chasing evil and the sort of helping with cold cases and whatnot. Do you ever connect to something that just scares the crap out of you?
I have. You know, one of the cases in this book was actually two cases in this book. You know what? Three cases in this book, now that I'm thinking about it, have all been things that I never wanted my name attached to, because they are very dangerous. You know, from a serial killer to the Russian mafia, this, you know, to an organized crime in America. Like, there's just been three things. So the big thing for me was, like, I don't want my name attached anywhere in your, you know, in your reports. And the joke for years was, don't worry about it, because I want to keep my job. So, like, you know, that was, you know, fine. So now that we're kind of revealing this, I'm a little anxious, to be honest. This is the first time, probably in my entire career, that I've been anxious about something coming out.
Mm,
that must be worrying. John, in a lot less dangerous way, but perhaps a more annoying way, as I mentioned before, you are coming to Geelong. You're also doing an Australian tour, these live shows. How do you deal with obvious skeptics in the audience, or potentially, I don't know if this happens, hecklers or people who really want to shout out and try and shoot down what you do? How do you deal with those sorts of people?
I mean, I think everybody should be skeptical when you're approaching the subject matter, specifically like now where we are in 2025. There's so many people who put psychic medium in front of their name and a handle on TikTok or social media. Mm. And the only way that you're going to know if somebody's legitimate is if you see actual validation and information and not performative emotion that's given that would be applicable to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I think factual information. So I kind of pride myself on information. So I basically say to those people, watch me, like, watch me do what I do. And I don't really get hecklers. I mean, I think I had one heckler situation that stands out for me, and that was in South Africa. And I basically, you know, made him the focal point of the entire event and made him cry.
Yeah. John, you are clearly a very talented man, and I think we've got through all the questions that we had sort of pre-prepared for you. I've just got my last note here is 2025 so far has been terrible.
Yeah.
That's not a question, I'm just saying.
Yes. I'd like to validate that statement right along with you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, I feel very validated.
Yeah.
Very seen and understood. Right, we're excited for you to come to Geelong. You're playing at the end of November, the 29th to be precise, at Costa Hall. And when I say playing, you're coming to deliver this amazing show of yours. John Edward, thank you, mate, for your time today.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Tom, Lee and Lockie. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.